Thank you, Father, for the gathering tonight. Your lovely spirit, Lord, moving amongst your people in the congregation of the saints. Trust, O Lord, that we can reach out tonight and touch you. Touch you with our soul, touch you with our heart, touch you with our minds, even as that woman touched the hem of your garment and was made whole. Pray that you will bless the word tonight, grant your people grace. Forgive us for all of our sins and our trespasses, and help your servant to say something that will be of edification and eternal benefits to your people. Even now we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The Lord, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. That is persistence. Because of his persistence in asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. You may be seated. And that was taken from Luke 11. And I read right down to the 13th verse. And we had such a blessing on our Wednesday night meeting in praying for the sick that I thought tonight that it would be very good if I would add something concerning prayer. Reading on the Lord, meditation. And I see that you put those other instructions to work immediately. that when that prayer line was going on, instead of people just sit and look around, I glimpse at the congregation, and I see everybody, almost their head was bowed reverently, respectfully, and got into the spirit and tried to enter into the feelings of the prayer for the sick. And I believe that that was so wonderful, and the Spirit of the Lord kept building up, until three preachers stood in front and forget that the prayer line was finished. Yes, and that was so wonderful. I don't think I have to ask you how many felt the great power of the Lord. Well, let me see your hands. I tell you, that's a witness, you know, of the Holy Spirit. And you do the right things. I believe that, you know, you played a great and important part in the meeting. That night, that the Lord was so pleased that He came in His mighty power, blessed the songs, blessed the ministers, and we are looking forward for fruits from that prayer meeting. I want to encourage your hearts, those who was prayed for, pay no attention to symptoms. You just keep confessing faith, go on, that is what the Lord wants. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So somebody might say, I did not see anything happen. Well, that doesn't mean to say you are not healed. Yes, it's a substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Yes, so you go on blessing the Lord, thanking Him. If you have to take a pill for a tablet for pain, I mean, go ahead and take it. Yes, you are taking some kind of a remedy, go on, but look to the Lord for your healing. Like the prophet of God said, that if a doctor could fix a bone, but then who will heal the place? Yes, the dentist could take out a tooth, but then who will heal the spot? So you see, all in all, it comes right back to the Lord. I am the Lord who healeth all thy diseases. And the prophet of God also said that doctors are ordained of God. So we are not being fanatics. You just hold right there, believe. You know, if you don't even believe in the doctor's medicine, it cannot do nothing for you. They proved that, science proved that, that if you don't believe that that medicine that you are taking could do something for you, that unbelief will cause it not to work. Yes. So, you want to continue to believe the Lord with all your heart. But I have a little important exhortation tonight to add to, you know, what was said prior to the healing service. So, we add a little more tonight. And what you are going to hear tonight equals to upper room heart's condition. The condition that every person's heart must be in that will go up to the upper room, spiritually speaking, and receive the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now the scripture said over in the book of Acts, and they were with one heart, in one accord, and one heart. And then that brought the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So they was in one accord. Yes, and they were in one heart. Perfect unity, and then they obeyed the Lord, and they went up there blessing and praising God by faith for the promise that He made until it came. And that's the way that you have to go on, blessing and praising God, yes, for your healing, or for any request that you make to the made to the Lord, until it's fulfilled. Now, but we have a greater promise. And this little lesson, I trust and hope, will teach, or remind us at least, of how to approach the Lord. This little exhortation has to do in preparing your heart, the right approach, the right attitude to the Lord, to receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, whatever portion is given out now, and the greater portion that will come later, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and when I say outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I am speaking about the headstone. Look on your pyramid teaching, and you will see right there, Brother Branham put the capstone. The capstone, Jesus, love, Holy Spirit, right there. Now that's your, that's the great fullness of God that is coming. We call it the Kogan, because Brother Branham, he typed that out to a bus ticket, which is the token, and then he said, the token is the blood. But then after that, he keep on talking about the Holy Spirit as the token. And then the next message that follows in the evening is that you must be desperate to receive that token. And the story that I just read there, Jesus spoke about that parable. And he put it so wonderfully, and notice how he connected that with the Lord's Prayer. Now, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, it includes in the first little verse there, Thy Kingdom Come. Of course, every one of us here who was listening to the Word of God and you listen to the tape are fully persuaded that the Kingdom of God is none other than what they received on the day of Pentecost, the true outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And soon after Jesus spoke about that, you know, Lord's Prayer, and teach the disciples to pray, you notice that he told them a parable. Now that parable is directly connected with that prayer. Yes, sir. And I love that little parable, how he placed it. And he talked about a man, you know, having a guest, and this guest come at midnight. And then he had nothing to set before him. And having nothing to set before him, he went to another friend in the night. And he said, listen to me, man, I have a friend that come from a long journey. I have nothing to set before him. Wake up and lend me 3 loaves of bread. Yes. And the fellow pulled up his feet under his sheet. Say, man, I have my children sleeping in bed. They are all in bed with me right now. How can I come out there and give you? And Jesus said, he said, because of the man's persistence. Yes, sir. Persistence. Although that man said no, he was not coming out. That man stood right there and won't let him go to sleep. Yeah. I imagine he stood out here and said, man, give me the bread. I know you have it. Yeah. He nodded away a little bit and then I call out to him again, friend, I'm waiting out here. Give me the bread. And the man was persistent. And then Jesus used that little parable to say that so will it be to all that will ask for the Holy Ghost. Now you see that fits into the message of desperation. Yes, Brother Branham preached the token in the morning, and in the evening he comes back. He say, you must be desperate to receive this token, or you will perish. So now Jesus was preaching desperation long before Brother Branham. In this parable, he said, if you want the Holy Ghost, friend, you've got to get desperate. Yeah, that is what it amounts to. If you want this kingdom, you've got to be desperate for it. Yeah, you've got to be persistent. He said, you've got to be persistent, and he draw the little parables again. You know, natural things. And he said, not for the Holy Ghost. For eternal life. Yeah. It shall be given to you. Seek and it shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Yeah. And with all of that that Jesus is saying, he said, if a man, he said, you being evil, you are evil fellows. In other words, I'm the son, the sinless son of God. And you being evil, you evil fellow. You just get baptized, but you're evil. Yeah. You're striving to live a Christian life, but you're evil. Yeah. And if your son asks you for a bread, you know, pick up a big rock and bring it, put it on the table and tell him to butter that and eat it. No. Yes. You say, if he asks a fish, you will catch a snake and put it on the table. He said, no, you won't do that. He says, and if he asks for what again? Something, he says, you will give him a scorpion? Yeah. He said, you being evil, you don't think like that. He said, how much will the Lord give the Holy Ghost to them that acts of him? Now, the point that I'm trying to make, my brother, we just cannot sit down as wallflowers and just think, well, when the token come, we may get it. And if I don't get it, maybe I'm not elected. And that's the worst attitude to sit in the house of God with. You got to come in there knowing that you're a son and daughter of God. And you know that you come to your father. Yeah. So he was typing out the natural father with the spiritual father. And he was telling us there that if we ask him of the token, he would not give us a stone for it. Yes. If we ask him for the Holy Ghost, he won't give us a serpent. Yes. If we ask him for that outpouring, he would not give you a scorpion. Beloved, I am not expecting a scorpion. Anybody expecting a scorpion? Well, some people sit in the house of God and expect a scorpion to bite them and kill them. Yeah, they're sure that they won't receive the token. They are sure that they are too evil to receive the blessings of the Lord. That's the wrongest attitude. Some people sit there and they're sure that they are the foolish virgin. Yeah. Friends, that the Lord is encouraging our faith. Yeah. He brought all those types to say one thing. If you ask the Lord for this outpouring, you're going to get it. If you ask the Lord for the token, you're going to get it. Huh? If you ask the Lord for eternal life, you're going to have it. If you ask the Lord for revelation, you're going to have it. If you ask the Lord for the new birth, you will have it. If you ask the Lord for healing, you're going to get it. And that's it. Oh, yes. How many love that? I love it. Oh, the Lord used to teach very simply and very deep. Probably they never understood that he was connecting the Lord's Prayer with that parable, but it is connected. Because the kingdom is that outpouring. And over here, what will he say? You know, what would he give that parable immediately after the Lord's Prayer for? Because it was connected. Right in there, it was connected with the Lord's Prayer. And he said that you pray, you make that request, it shall be granted to you. He said, no, it shall be open to you. Say the prayer that I just taught you, and it shall be granted to you. Just apply the prayer. Now, prayer is to make a request to the Lord. See, you hear somebody say, I pray thee, let me have so and so. I pray thee. It just simply means a request. So now our prayer to the Lord is a request. And then worship and praise is to return thanks. Yes, to return thanks. Sometimes you return the praises and the thanks long before you receive what you requested. Like in the upper room, they went up there blessing and praising God for the token which had not come yet. And they got it. Now, even because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you are blessing God just like if you had the thing. And the Lord honors that. He honors a man's faith. Yes, sir. So, the story starts over here in Luke 11. And then the Lord prayed a prayer. And I guess it was so inspirational. And his words so perfect before the Lord. But he was speaking to the Lord, and that prayer that the Lord spoke, you know, it moved one of the disciples, because it was so fitting, it was so perfect, it was so inspirational, that this fellow, he turned around, he said, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't that wonderful? Teach us to pray. Even as John taught his disciples to pray, teach us to pray also. Now, that was not a silly question. Somebody might be in the audience and say, I don't know how to pray. Brother Bruce,
teach me to pray.
Yes, that's not a silly question. Jesus never rebuked the man for that. No, immediately Jesus went on to teach you how to pray. So there is a right way and a wrong way to pray. There is a right approach and a wrong approach. If you have the wrong approach, then you would not, you know, have what you're asking for, because you approach the wrong way. Yes, sir. So now, that happened in the prophet's life. You know, he met a girl somewhere. I don't know. It sounded to me like overseas. It may have been right in this country. And the prophet of God met this girl, and as the story goes, she seemed to have been destitute and poor and, you know, ignorant of eternal life, ignorant of the gospel. And the prophet of God taught her to pray. I don't know if anybody ever heard of that. The prophet taught her to pray. And you know what was the prayer that the Lord, that the prophet taught her to pray? Lord, save me. That was all. Lord, save me. And when Brother Branham returned, the girl was saved. But isn't that a wonderful prayer to teach our children? They may not, you know, be able to understand all that we are saying here. Sometimes their heads are filled with, you know, play, sports. Some children, all that they think of is play from morning to night. You have to restrain them. You have to teach them. Yes. And when they are in the house of God, their minds are still busy. Yeah. And they don't hear the words of life. And let's say that they miss everything. And you would take a little time off, you know, to teach your child that little prayer, seeing that the mighty Elijah done that. And how simple. If we can only get into our children's heart, Lord, save me. Isn't that understanding a child and how a child will think? Yes. Because a child having to say a long prayer, he will open one eye. About halfway. If you don't open one eye, he will peep through his fingers. So, the prophet of God taught that little girl a prayer that she could handle. And she could remember anywhere, Lord, save me. And after a while, that little girl was saved. Because she was saying that sincerely, honestly, before the Lord. The prophet of God taught her that, and she believed in him. Yes. And she continued to say that prayer, I don't know how long, but the prophet of God said, so when he went back, the little girl was saved. I tell you, that is so wonderful. That is so sweet. Yes, sir. So, I don't know where I read that, or probably heard it from some preacher that was associated with Brother Branham, but I believe that story. Yes. And I met a little girl one time who was a kind of a fatherless and motherless. I said, well, try this out. And this girl was a heathen. And I happened to come in contact where she was working. She was just a little girl, about 14 years. I desired to see that little girl saved because I felt so sorry for her. So I started to talk about the Lord, and I taught her the same prayer. I said, when you pray, say, Lord Jesus, save me. And you know, it was several years that rolled around, and that girl came around and got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it works. It works. You know, there was sincerity in the heart, and you know, there was a sincerity in a child's heart. And yes, that is great. Very great. Sincerity and honesty, humility. Yes, and if you can embed that into their hearts and their mind, Yes, they have a soul, and that soul could go out and go to hell, or it could go to heaven. Yes, and they could understand that. Brothers and sisters, the Lord will hear that prayer, no matter how small that child is. Teach the child to pray. Yes, sir. So this disciple was so moved by the prayer of the Lord. I don't know what prayer he prayed. But Jesus used to pray a lot. Yeah, the Bible said he went to the mountain and resorted in the mountain and spent all night in prayer. He was a praying man. And then the sincerity and the honesty and the respect towards God, this disciple must have heard, seeing and judging that from the prayer that he taught the disciples now. You know, this moved the disciple and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If he did not ask that question, we may not have the Lord's Prayer here. Yes, a little question somewhere, and it's a blessing to the entire world. Teach us to pray, Lord. All right. So, the Lord gave them, you know, that prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is the greatest prayer in the Bible. Because it is the Lord's Prayer. Yes, I don't believe that there is a more perfect prayer in the Bible than the Lord's Prayer. Many a man prayed from way back in Genesis, Abraham, and they had lovely prayers. Daniel prayed. Yes, John taught his disciples to pray. It was not even recorded in the Holy Script. And right through, we had men pray. But I tell you this right here. The most perfect prayer that anybody could say is the Lord's Prayer. Now, you're going to see that tonight in a little way. I'll tell you why it is so perfect. Because in just a few words, he made requests. He taught his disciples to make requests to the Lord for both the natural and the spiritual. And the hope of an eternal kingdom. And right here, I will put in this, that prayer connected the promise of the hour, which was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Under the terminology, kingdom of God. So it was both for natural and the spiritual. That prayer is a complete prayer that the Lord gave. Only God could pray like that. Yes, only God could pray like that. Yes, and what this disciple must have heard there included some of this. Because it attracted the disciples how the Lord was praying. So now I want to call your attention to some of these things. Now, to pray that prayer, your heart must be in a certain condition. Otherwise, you can falsely say that prayer. Millions today are saying the Lord's Prayer falsely. All right, just to settle your minds a little bit. This prayer is asking the Lord to forgive, yes, for our sins, as we have already forgiven our brother or sister, or forgiven the offender, saved or unsaved. Now, if that was not done in your life, if that did not happen in your life, where you forgive that party there, and you come to say that prayer over here, forgive me because I forgive my fellow man. You are lying. Come on, I hope you are reading between the lines. Then you are hypocritically saying that prayer. Yeah? The prayer does not apply. So it must meet a certain heart condition for you to really say the Lord's Prayer. I hope you get me. So now there are certain forerunners to this prayer. And the Lord, he did not want He warned us about hindrances when we say our prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. But the Lord had already spoken in another place, in Matthew 5. He said, listen, when you pray, that is about the 6th chapter, 5 to the 15th verse, he said, when ye pray, be not like the hypocrites. First of all, friends, you cannot say this prayer as a hypocrite. You can't. Listen, this prayer is not for hypocrites. This is an upper room prayer. What I'm teaching you here tonight is very simple. What the Lord taught here was very simple. And friends, this has to do with the upper room. Making your life right. Coming up to the standard to where you could really from your heart ask for that outpouring to come to you and your family. Alright, I would point out one or two little things that Jesus warned us about. He said, any prayer, be not like the hypocrites. No, he said, don't be like the hypocrites. Let me get it for you. Be not like the hypocrites, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Now you see, my friends, whenever you're going to pray, you cannot be a hypocrite. This prayer is not for a hypocrite. This is for the disciples. The disciple asks him, teach us to pray. This is not for the hypocrite. That, you know, doing something, you know, like Hollywood. A play actor. A pretended Christian. Yes, a church member. It's not for the Pope. This is not for the Cardinal. This is not for all these evangelists on the radio and on the television who are there to collect the people's money. This is the prayer of the disciples. Yes, be not like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Yeah. Now when they stand on the street there and pray aloud, like you hear some of these fellows there, pray out loud, and everybody look out there and say, that's a spiritual man, I tell you, that's a holy man. The poor prayed a prayer, yes, that the whole world heard him from St. Peter's Square. Yeah. My brother, Jesus said he had his reward. The reward was the praises of men. Yes. He said he had his reward. That's the reward. He already got his reward. All right. So I will just sort of jump that and analyze it a little bit. Now, Jesus was referring. He said, when you pray, don't come with pride. Don't come with pride. That here amounts to pride. He said, don't come with pride in your heart. The Bible went on to say God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. All right. Another warning that he gave us. All right. He advised us to get into our prayer closet and pray. All right. And then he warned us about vain repetitions. He said, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetition. What is this vain repetition? That somebody is in a congregation, and then Hail Mary, Mother of God. And you have to count it on the chaplain. Huh? Vain repetition. And at the end of the chaplain, and you count I don't know how many, the Lord did not hear your prayer yet, because you are using vain repetition, yes, sir, and you're praying to Mary. And then it comes right down, and the Pentecostal is guilty, yes, sir, for vain repetition by saying, praise God, praise God, praise God, hallelujah, 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 praise God, praise God. That is vain repetition, and they think because they repeat praise God and hallelujah over and over, God will hear them. No, it's best they have a chaplain and count how many times that they are saying, praise God, praise God. Oh yes, and soon they will bring a chaplain in the Pentecostal church. Yeah. Oh yes, sir. So, he gave us that these warnings out here, and then he taught them to pray out here. I love this. Be not ye therefore likened unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Yes. Always remember that when you approach in prayer, the Lord knows while you are coming or before you was coming what you're going to ask for. Yes. Sometimes I get fumbled up in my words and mixed up in my thought what I am asking the Lord for. And then I smooth it out very easily. I say, Lord, you know what I want to ask for. Yeah, you know, you pray sometimes, you get kind of muddled up in your head or something like that. Well, that is the way I smooth that out. I say, Lord, no matter what I say, you are looking at my heart and you know what I want. And if that thing is not good for me, I don't want it. Yes, if that thing is not good for me, I don't want it. Yes, if that will hinder me from receiving the promise, receiving eternal life, I don't want it, Lord. No matter how hard it is, I don't want it. Yeah, so thy will be done. So, you see, that is very important, our approach. So, do you see that this prayer is not for the hypocrite? All right. This prayer is not for a play actor. This prayer is not for a church member. This prayer is not for the world. This prayer is not for organization, and they say it the most. Yeah. I hope you understand what I am trying to get at, friend. This prayer goes far and wide. It's not a school prayer. This prayer has to do with the upper room. It has to do with the Holy Ghost. It has to do, friend, with what we call the token. All right, in order to say this prayer, your heart must come to a certain condition. Then the prayer becomes sincere. Then the prayer becomes honest. Then it becomes effective. Then you are praying for what the Lord asks you to pray for. Look at the prayer properly. Yes, and you will see how the Lord brought that right down. So the Lord's Prayer is the greatest prayer. It covers both naturally and spiritually. It covers the hope of the Christian church. Yes. Then, if you will examine that prayer, if I don't come to it, you will notice that in that prayer, Jesus indicated a certain attitude that you must approach with, and a certain reverence, a certain confession. Yes, certain things that you must do before you even say that prayer. And we are going to examine that just a little bit. Your heart condition must be right before you say that prayer. It must be empty. You must be empty. It must be surrendered. Let us see if that prayer is saying that. Okay, so I continue from the 6th chapter of Matthew here I just read. And I am going to take Jesus' prayer a little, because this has to do with the upper room. Definitely, friend, if you don't understand what I'm saying tonight, and if you are not established already in this fact that I am saying, you don't know how to approach the Lord for the token. Is this important then? I feel that this is important. Yes, sir. You must be empty. Let us use the word empty. Yes. Before you say this prayer, you must be empty. Yes. You cannot approach in pride. You cannot approach in self. You cannot approach in boastfulness. You cannot approach, my brother, in a way of chanting to say that you're going to invoke the Lord. All that is chanting is trying to invoke the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not invoked. Evil spirits are invoked. Yes. So now the same way that people chant
and they bring up evil spirits. They think that by that same method they could come and fool God. You know, say, God, you're really nice, you know. Yeah, you're real nice. God is a good God. Or a robot, sir. Huh? Oh, yes, God is a good God. Yeah, he's a God of judgment, too. Yes, and people think by flattering the Lord, that the Lord will say, oh, here, take it and go. It don't happen that way, friend. Jesus gave us a certain condition, heart condition. And I'm emphasizing here that heart's condition is connected with the upper room experience. It is connected in how to receive the Holy Spirit to prepare your heart where you're going to ask for this thing. You must have a certain heart condition. All right, he started praying. Now, our Father, which art in heaven. Therefore, let me get a little bit. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. All right. This is the manner that you must pray. Children, GCC, Grace Covenant Church here, little boys, brothers and sisters, teach us to pray. That is the name of this message. This is the way to pray. If I will teach you to pray tonight, I will use the greatest prayer. And that is what the Lord left us here, is the greatest prayer. This is what I will use to teach you. Yes, we look for the same promise. All right. So he said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isn't that wonderful? The word hallowed there is holy. In other words, Lord, I am fully conscious that I am approaching a God that has no sin. Holy. Righteous. Hallowed be thy name. Isn't that very reverent? You must be conscious of who you are approaching. Not hiding in the schools. I don't need to take all the prayer from a lot of the schools here. It still goes on in the Caribbean and many parts of the world. Children must have the devotion 15 minutes. Yes, before they start work. And thank God for that. And they must say the prayer before they go and eat. And when they come back inside, they got to say the prayer and thank God for what they eat. And when they're going home in the evening, they must pray again for guidance and protection. Yes, and a prayer is in the evening. Yes. We still have that. And a lot of children who are heathens and everything, they come to know the Lord Jesus by those cool devotions. I myself had some influence from that. Yes, sir. So, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Friends, you must approach respectfully, reverently, in adoration, knowing who we are speaking to. Not like a school prayer that, you know, children hurry to eat and drink and go home and say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now that is the way we get fed up with the thing because we never understand. And we say, oh, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And you chew it up, and you go and, you know, you go home, you eat your food, you go and sit down. Meaningless, sir. We were sinners. The prayers did not even belong to us. Yes. So, the prayer is speaking of reverence. When we come to the Lord, the house of the Lord, we must be reverent. Yeah. You just must not bring in, you know, everything in your mind, natural work, or problems, forces, offenses. No. You have to come in, brothers and sisters, in order to say that. You've got to mean it. Yes, sir. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. In other words, You were holy, Lord.
Yes, sir.
And it went on to say, Brother Paul instructing the church, yes, he said, lifting up holy hands, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Now you see, that connects this Lord's Prayer here. Yeah. Jesus taught them the same thing. He said, when you come to the Lord, yeah, he said, approach him reverently, respectfully, in adoration, knowing that he is the holy God, the most holy that you are approaching. So approach him with that kind of attitude. Now, how are you going to approach the Lord with such reverence and holiness, friends, if you do not fulfill the rest of the scripture about pride and self and trying to fool God and flatter him? How are you going to say this prayer? So there was a heart's condition. There is a way to approach the Lord. Yes. Hallowed be thy name. Now, what kind of a man and women ought we to be, brothers and sisters, that we must come in knowing that we are going to speak to God on this Monday night and tomorrow Tuesday night and other night? What kind of a reverence we ought to come in with here? This could express it. Without wrath, without unbelief, the Bible said. And you've got to come in here with reverence, knowing that I'm going to speak to God. And yes, he comes and meet us here. He fellowships with us here, with us now. Now that he lives here, he don't live in this wood building. No, friends, he lives in earthen vessels. But then he said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Yes, and that is why I said the other night that he comes in this auditorium. Yes, because we are gathered, his children are gathered here. Now, do you know that that takes in church order and everything right there? Hallowed be thy name. It takes in church order and everything. Everything that we practice here, because we want to be reverent to the Lord when we are praying, when we are preaching, friends, and either coming to the house of the Lord. We have that reverence and we have that respect when we walk through the doors of the tabernacle. Now you see how that verse picks up that? And you see the first words that our Lord used, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isn't that love? Isn't that respect, friends? Isn't that adoration? Isn't that humble, friends? In the very first prayer he told his disciples, he said, whenever you're praying, yes, tell God who he is. He's a holy God, a righteous God. You are just not talking to a man. You just did not come to Brother Bruce to ask him for something, or Pastor Maggie here. You did not come over here to ask your fellow men for something. Be reverent. Yes, you feel to kneel? Kneel. You feel to stand up and lift your hands to him? As he said, when he stand praying. Yes, sir. So, you must be reverent. Look at the vastness of this prayer. And immediately, the Lord went down to the next verse right away. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You see, that's the hope of the Christian church. Thy kingdom come. Now the kingdom has to do with the eternal kingdom in the hereafter. That is true. It has to do with the Davidic kingdom, which we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and then we will live in a new world after that. But friend, this kingdom of God has to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This has to do. So now Jesus, in other words, he's teaching his disciples how to call for the Holy Ghost. How to approach for this Holy Spirit. How to approach for this promise that I told you will come upon you. He said, behold, the promise of the Father come upon you. It was a promise. And he's telling them here now how to approach this thing. Thy kingdom come. Now, how are you going to pray for that outpouring? How are you going to pray for that great blessing to come unless you have a vision? And you know what it is. In that outpouring, it's tied up the rapture, it's tied up the resurrection, it's tied up, friend, the thirdfold ministry, it's tied up the translation. Don't you see that unless that, nothing could happen? Nothing cannot happen. The rapture cannot take place. The manifested sons of God cannot come on the scene. No, everything will remain as it is. The bride will remain scattered around the world. It only takes the outpouring to bring her together. So now, one of the first requests that the Lord put into this prayer, he said, when you pray, that thy kingdom come. Yes, thy outpouring come, thy token come. Yes, thy fullness, O Lord. Yes. Come. Hear this. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I want to stay there just a minute. All right. That simply means that the only time that a perfect will be done, fulfilled, and accomplished is when that outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes. That will bring to pass, friend, all that God has for the church and all that he planned from the foundation of the world and come to the Old Testament and send Jesus to the cross and right down to the end time here, he has a great plan in his mind. And the Lord knew that. He was praying for that plan. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is what he's teaching his disciples. Without that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the will of God cannot be accomplished. That he planned before the foundation of the world, it is the mystery of his will. The predestinated mystery of his will. Ephesians 1. Can you tie that there? The predestinated mystery of God's will. Jesus knew that. And that was in Christ. And here, friends, Jesus is saying that prayer. And that is what he's talking about. Yes, the predestinated mystery of God's will. The only time that that is accomplished is when the kingdom of God comes. Yes, and that happened in the upper room over here, and it is going to happen one more time here to bring to pass the will of God. The will of God is to rapture you, not so? The will of God is to bring the manifested sons on the scene. Okay, well, that outpouring will do it. The will of God is for you to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. It cannot happen without an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes. The will of the Lord is to bring the dead from the grave. Yes. All the saints that was martyred and everything, and the kingdom of God will bring it to pass. All right. Now hear this. If the will of God is not your will, how can you say this prayer? Think on that. Think of what I'm trying to get at. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Alright? The will of the Lord is to bring the kingdom to the church. And when that outpouring comes, then it will fulfill the predestinated mystery of God's will. Ephesians 1. Now, if you don't have the same purpose like God, to see this kingdom come, this outpouring come, and that is the most important thing for the church right now, is that the kingdom come, then, friend, you are out of the will of God. All right? I'm teaching the church how to pray here, but let me challenge every preacher upon the face of the earth. If you are not preaching an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the bride in the end time, you are out of the will of God. Preacher.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And any preacher that is not highlighting the outpouring of the Holy Spirit,
yes, sir,
to bring the will of God to pass,
yeah,
and his predestinated plan and will is out of the will of God. Alright, now don't let me hurt your feelings here, friend. If you are seated here tonight, and your greatest purpose is to receive the outpouring when it comes, and to go in the rapture, you are wasting time. You are out of the will of God. You must, now that must be your purpose. Little fellas, brothers, sisters, pretty, ugly, big, fat, old, young, listen to Brother Bruce. Before you could even say this prayer, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yes, not only in earth here, friend, but it must be done in your life. Now, how God's will be done in your life if you do not have first place this outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Let us put it down this way. Eternal life.
Yes.
Eternal life.
Yes.
That you must go in this rapture. That's my goal. The rapture that took on eternal life. How are you going to say this prayer? How will you say this prayer, friend, with a big ambition of the world? How are you going to say it? You will have to start saying the prayer, my will be done. Come on, that is very simple. I want a university education, and I don't care what Pastor Kenny have to say, or that Brother Bruce have to say. I want a university education, then you will have it. And that is what you will have.
No, catch me correctly.
Well, if a person's whole life is wrapped up in this outpouring and the rapture, there is no room, brothers and sisters, to want a big chunk of this world. Because the Bible tells you over here in 1 John 2, love not the world, nor the things of the world. He that loveth the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world is the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and what? The pride of life. You cannot say this prayer with that pride in your heart of wanting to be this, that, after sitting and hearing the word of God from a little child.
Yes, sir.
And take your mind into such a direction after hearing the word of God and the token preached to you that you want a university education. Let me tell you, this brain could only take so much. And when you fill it, brothers, with the things of the world, there is no space for the word. That's what I'm saying. You meditate on what I am saying tonight, friend. Here the Lord is telling us that when we pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. You should be so anxious to see God's will fulfilled upon the earth, in your life, in your family life, in your children's life. Any parent that will try to put that kind of an ambition in their children is betraying the children. They don't work together like that. They go and pack your head with all that university education and probably send your girl to learn a trade that a man should do. Send her out to drive a truck. Send her there to learn mechanics and let her go under a car and put on an overall.
Yeah.
To climb up ladders way up in the air. She's a builder. She's an engineer. Friends, such people have not heard the word of God. They missed the mark.
And that image that you put over to that child, a young girl, young man, when it's wrong, I'm telling you, the Bible says you have food and raiment, be contented thereby. And this world is going to pass away. Yes, and the lust thereof, 1 John 2. But he that abideth, my brother, in the world, he's going to stand to the end. Oh, yes. Now get me correctly, friend. Why would a parent want to push their children into the wrong environment? When you have a certain amount of education that even though you want them to work, they go down and work for half a bread and receive the token. Brother, they eat half a bread, drink, and they wear half of my brothers and sisters, and they have their minds on the token. I believe that is common sense. After you sit under the word of God, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Now, we shall leave that for people who came in here from a certain society. Some people come in as educated people. They come in, my brother, as university graduate. Thank God for that. Not many mighty, not noble, many noble are called, but yet God called some of them. And they had a certain program where they had the children out into college or have them into university. I don't expect to take that family and bend them, my brother, into our church understanding. I have to take them and commit them into the hand of the Lord. Yes? And if they come and ask me about my daughter is in her first year in the university, and preacher, what do I do? My brother, I will speak their language. Because that person do not understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes. And the advice, I will put the negative, I will put the positive, I will show, you know, that if you go this way, this will happen, and the possibility of this child losing her soul. And I will show this way, if you go this way, and I will let that family make a choice. But when it comes down to people who was brought up in the house of God, and you sat here for 10, 20, 30 years, and take up your little daughter and your little son, and you want to send them to a university, you're an unbeliever. Disobedient. And you have your own will. You have your own program. There is no place for you who have your own program and own will in the house of God. You will be responsible, that little girl's soul and that little boy's soul. You will be responsible. God will hold you responsible. And that is what I tell many people that start getting ambitious in this hour, brother. It's worldly ambition that does that, you know. And when they get so ambitious, where they won't listen to the word, I say, you send that child there and you'll find out that it will cover up that child. And I want you to know that my hands is clean. You will answer for that child on the day of judgment. And I've seen them, my brother, send them for betterment, leave the word of God, send them for betterment on the next island, next country they go to, send them for betterment, my brother, out here, they come back with big bellies from the colleges. Oh, yes. I had to deal with them, my brother. One got so ambitious, she went down and started drinking beers and fooling with a man. I'm telling you, I warned them before it happened. I say, okay, you're going to leave the house of God now. Yeah, God had mercy upon that young woman. She came right in the pulpit. She said, I was disobedient. And the university is no place for a young girl. You cannot survive there as a young girl. Yes, the environment is terrible. I repent. I want to serve the Lord. She is back in church. You see, you try to help people and show them, my brother, the right way, they get against the minister. They want to think that the minister is trying to keep down their children from the ambition. Let me tell you something, my beloved. You cannot mix this gospel with the ambition of the world. The ambition of the world is one thing and it's of the devil. I don't care what you say. Yes, sir. All that is in the world, my brother, is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Why you want to go down to that university? Why you want to work on this big job? Pride of life. You have your own program. People sit there and they say they have a pastor But whether they pastor their family. Oh, yes. And then put the blame on an unsaved relative or unsaved friend or some neighbor and put the blame on the girl. Yeah, something like that happened, Brother Kenny. I will call the young fella in. I'll say, you heard this word of God? Do you have the ambition now to go and in the wrong environment? What are you doing with your soul? I am dealing with you. I have nothing to do with parents. I'm dealing with you. What are you doing about this? You either want the church or you want the world. Because I could see where you were going. Oh, now let us get back here, friend. We are talking about something that will qualify you for the upper room. This is very important. If you miss this, my brothers and sisters, and you don't take heed, yes, to it, you might come up short. The Lord wants an emptiness. Now listen to me. Before you could pray that prayer and ask the Lord for the token, is, friend, your will must be surrendered to God. You are telling God, thy will be done. How obedient are you to the message? How obedient are you to the pastor that is trying to lead you to eternal life? He suggests that that thing is not good for you. I know your strength as a Christian. That pastor is set there to look over you. And in my estimation, you will not make it to that university. You will not make it to that job. Many a man come to ask me, should I go and drive taxi? They don't know what I'm telling them. I said, don't go. Our next fellow comes, he says, shall I go to drive a taxi? I said, go ahead. I don't have nothing to explain to you. Yes, sir. What I may tell you may embarrass you. Yes. Our next fellow says, should I go and put this great big investment over here? Well, no. Well, Brother Bruce, I don't understand how you give that father the permission and I don't have the permission. Because you have a money spirit. Yes, and that money spirit is going to overcome you. Yes, sir. And you're greedy of the things of the world. Yes. His selfishness must come out. But I'm getting back on this one word here, friend. Thy will be done. Yes. Now, how are you going to tell the Lord, your will be done, Lord, in my life and the church? And you have your mind made up to do something contrary to his word. Can you say this prayer? Can a man say this prayer? Having his mind made up. I know the word says not to do this, but I think I will do it. Never mind what Brother Bruce say. Never mind what the elders say. I think I want to take the chance. Yeah. I want to commit fornication. I want to live in adultery. This dress here, I like it and I want to wear it. Yeah, friend. And you're saying, thy will be done. Thy will be done? No. You better say, my will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy my will be done. You better change it up. My will be done. They will never get the token, friend, by saying, my will be done. You can repeat these words here, but you know that you are holding something in your heart. That is against the word of God. That is your will be done, not the Lord's will be done. So now, I'm trying to emphasize something. This is not a kind of a beat-up message, you know. I'm reasoning with you. I'm explaining and analyzing this little prayer here, if it won't be offensive to the Lord to say analyze. But, friends, I'm trying to show you what the Lord meant in the prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When you approach the Lord and you say that you set out for the token, you've got to be empty. You've got to be empty of yourself. You've got to be empty of your will. You've got to be empty of the desires of the world. You've got to be empty of your ambitions. It cannot work, friend, the token. You cannot work it by wanting a big junk of this world at the same time and want the token. Yeah, I want all of this property. I want all of these lands. It doesn't matter if I have to pull some schemes. You know, I want all of this money. I'm in business and I want to get all of this money. It's a little string I have to pull and a little dishonesty. Friend, you cannot get a token like that. The will of God be done. Let me tell you, friend, the Lord is going to give you what you're supposed to have. Yes. And you must be able with emptiness
to say, thy will be done.
Now, if you have your own way, friend, you must be convicted when you're, not, when you're going to talk these things to the Lord. Yeah, tell God, thy will be done. And you know exactly that you have a woman out there that you are liking more than your wife. That a woman have her eyes upon some other man, yeah, and she's praying now, thy will be done. No, that's your will be done. So you see where this is connected, friend? It's an emptiness. You gotta be empty. You cannot be holding on to the things of the world. You've got to be empty. Yeah. I thank God for an empty heart. Friends, whatever the Lord, that's not now, friend, but from the time I took the gospel. Nothing in this whole world was too dear to me. My vision back there was eternal life. And instead of getting weaker, it's getting stronger. And I believe that many have the same, many have the same testimony here tonight. Yes, many have the same testimony. Oh yes, one aim, one desire. And that is to have the will of God done in your life. Yes, and his will must be done in earth here as it is in heaven. Yes, there was one time a fellow try to inject his will in heaven. You know him?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And Michael had to clean up heaven. He had to clean up heaven and throw that fellow out of the kingdom because he was trying to inject his will. Everybody should know that fellow. His name is Lucifer. All right. And then now Jesus, after so long a time, could now say this prayer. Yes, sir. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It shows that heaven was clean up. And it had nobody there who was thinking contrary to the will of God. And friend, anytime you want something outside of the will of God, he's going to boot you out like Lucifer. Listen, I'm not talking just about education or something in the front. I'm talking about a little item contrary to the word. And you want to hold on to some vice or something in the bedroom. Or you want to hold on to some little greedy money spirit, greedy. And you want to hold that. You will not get the token that will send you to the tribulation. Eventually, you will have to go to the tribulation for your purging to purge out that which you did not surrender to God. I don't want to go there, friend. I want my portion here. How many say amen there, young fellas? Don't you want your portion here? Huh? Sacrifice the thing here. If anything is bothering you, sacrifice the thing here. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Yeah. Carried over by some friend. Some friend is such a great friend that you have to follow him and do the wrong thing. Sacrifice the friend. Jesus said if your right hand offend you, cut it off. That is what it means. Get rid of the friend. Yeah. Your right foot offend you, chop off the foot. Yeah. Your right eye offend you, dig it up. Yes. No kind of a nonsense and some kind of a friend connection, relative connection, some kind of influence in the neighborhood, cut the thing off. Yes, sir. There we are. Kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. And hear this, sir. Give us this day our daily bread. Beloved, Jesus is such a spiritual man. He's not talking about bread and butter. Brothers and sisters, although it is included, but the emphasis is, feed me with the bread of life. Because I cannot get that token until I am fed right. You must be fed right with the word of God to enter the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That is why EODH went earlier to feed it up. Because all tables are full of vomit. And there is no place clean. Yes. And all that EODH is saying is this is vomit, that is vomit, that is vomit, that is vomit. Yes, sir. And this is the bread of life. All right. We're going to close just now. But love not the world. Yeah, I hate this world, friend. You can still go down there and enjoy seeing them people in their nakedness. You can still enjoy the music of this world. Like one young brother told me there in the camp, he said, just signal me. I tell you, I felt so happy. Isaac. Yeah, he said, that music, just signal me, Brother Bruce. Yeah, so I said, there is a man that, you know, he's making a sacrifice for the Lord. Wonderful brother. God bless his heart. Yes, my Lord. So here, friends, the Lord continue this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And he has given you your daily bread every day for all the years. Thank him for this daily bread here today. Now, you know what that expresses? It expresses faith. Give us this day our daily bread. Expresses faith. Don't you see the faith in it? No, without faith, Lord, give us our yearly supply. He make them gather their bread in the wilderness every day. No, he didn't fall down and say, okay, let that last for 365 days now. He said, give us this day our daily bread. It exercised faith. Yes. Exercise of faith among the faith. The next chapter, 11th chapter, say, give us our bread day by day. See, it clarified a little bit. Day by day, give us our bread. You see, and the just shall live by faith. But some people, my brother, they're getting so scared about what will happen in the future. What will happen to my children? What will happen to this? What will happen to that? And you know what I see down in Bethel, dear friend? People who are just contented with a little bit. My brother, the whole 2, 3, 4 jobs. And trying to hoard up a certain amount of money. They don't know that I know how much money that they have. Yeah. Hoard up this money to think that if they fall down and die, like the brother who stood on the pulpit and better than die, you know, that they will have enough money for their sons, their daughters and everything. They could get a big junk each. Yes, you're corrupting them too. Yeah. At the end of your life, they'll be fighting for the biggest share. Yeah. When you should commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord and go right on and serve the Lord and seek your kingdom first. Yes, sir. Some get a pension and they're not satisfied with that. They want a second job. Yes. And a third job and a fourth job. Yes. And the excuse they think, you know, my brother, nobody knows that they are getting a pension from their job. And so we're trying to put some bread on the table. I'm trying to put some bread on the table. I shake my head and say, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you better put some bread on the table. They may starve to death. Yeah. Now that is what people are doing. You see, as the time go on, they see like if the Lord is lingering to come. So now some fear is taking a hold. What about if I die? What will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? Friend, the Lord take care of Naomi and he take care of Ruth. And by that prophet, he sent them to my brother. He woke out a greater way of salvation for them. Sometimes it might please the Lord, my brother, to have both father and mother die. Yes, and a young girl and a young boy remain in the house for their salvation. And those same people, brother, that are trying to hoard up money for their daughters and their sons, they're in a backslidden condition. Yes, cannot obey the word of God. Has haughty spirit upon them, they will not even wave to a brother or wave to a sister. Haughty spirit. Now when a man start getting scared like that and fear fill his heart, he will cover up his house and cover up his children. Oh yes, sir. There we are, children. Let us look at the Lord's prayer in close. Give us this day our daily bread. Where is your faith? You want to hoard up your bread, huh? For 10 years after you die. So your wife and children won't have to beg. It's a good idea not to have your children and family begging. But when you will do that at the expense of your souls, well, and take 2 and 3 jobs, you have a big pension you want to go and drive taxi to, get into all kinds of danger, and on top of that, my brother, neglect the word of the Lord, you are in trouble. This is what Jesus said you to do here. Give us this day our daily bread, and let us exercise your faith. I'm going to hit this here and we're going to finish the prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The only time you as a Christian could come and ask the Lord for forgiveness is if you have already forgiven your fellow man. You cannot say this prayer with offense in your heart. Yeah. That person over here done me so and so, but get even with them. Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, I will take care of them. Oh, yes. I cannot bear to stand that girl. I don't like to be around her. I don't like to be around that brother at all. Yeah, there is something that rises. He comes one way and I go the next way. I just hate him. Yeah, this prayer don't belong to you. You've got to clean the heart before you say the prayer. Because this prayer is telling me out here that you're telling God, Lord, I already forgive my brother over here. And even the unsaved man, even the neighbor out there, even, Lord, the man on the street, the sinner, I already forgive him. So I'm asking you to forgive me for my sin. How are you going to say this prayer, man? You're a dead hypocrite. That prayer ought to be made, that correction ought to be made before you sit in the house of God. If you sit there and the token come, you're not going to get it. That's what the Bible says. Thy kingdom come, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive me for my sins, because I already forgive everybody for their sins. Listen to the parable that our Lord spake. Huh? And that adds up right here, where a man could not forgive his fellow men, but this next man here, his boss, forgive him for all his debts. Are you familiar with that? And the boss heard that, and he couldn't forgive his brother for a couple of pennies. Yes. He said, "Thou wicked man, I'm going to put you in prison until you pay every penny now." That's a parable. You know what I mean? The Lord tilting back my brother in a backslidden condition. Yes? And he went into the prison of the devil, bound him with demons. That is what that means. Yes? You can lose your soul for not forgiving your brother. That is how dangerous it is. When you will take offenses every day. Yes, it's just a little tight. Every day, friend, you're giving a brother a ride home. Look how evil people is. 3 months, 4 months. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. They're a very lovely brother. Thank you. And one day, you forget to pick him up because you got busy. You know that evil man forget all the goodness that you've done to him and will start reproaching you around the whole church. Huh? About how evil you are? Huh? That's the evil man. He's an ungrateful daughter. Unthankful. If that man wasn't so evil, friend, he would be thankful for all the months that you gave him this and gave him that, and you pick him up, my brother, and drop him at his door. And he would overlook that. Yes? And he would not keep you in mind for that. Next day, friend, you're going to give him a ride. It's okay, brother. It's okay, brother. I'll find my way home somehow. You're an evil man. There was evil down inside of you. Yes, there was unforgiveness down in you. Oh, yes. So here we are. We have not forgiven our brothers. We have offenses. You're not prepared for the token. Huh? If you did not forgive your... How are you going to go up there and have one heart and you did not forgive your brother? How are you going to go up to the upper room, friend, and be one heart and one accord? All these things got to be fixed down here. We constantly have to bring our heart into upper room condition, I'm calling it. This is upper room condition I'm talking about. Yeah? Everybody that's sitting here, friend, all to be grinding out everything within their souls. Yeah, there are people, my brother, that are so touchy. Beloved, I tell you, you've done something there by mistake, they will hold you in mind. Yeah, hold you in mind for the rest of your life. You're a bitter person, bitter man, bitter woman. You will never get to talking like that. You will never go up to the upper room in that condition. Am I making sense? This prayer, my brother, has a lot of sense, sir. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You're telling God, I already forgive that brother Bruce for preaching against me. Yes? You laugh at that? You preach the truth to people and they hate you? Jesus said, why go ye about to kill me, a man that have told you the truth? You know? And you preach like that, my brothers and sisters, and people pull away from you. Brother Bruce don't like me. Alright, and you ask the Lord, now, Lord, lead us not into temptation. You see, you are so careful about what you do, what you say, and everything. You ask in the Lord, protect me, Lord. Don't lead me into temptation. I don't want to do anything wrong. You want to walk so circumspect. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. You see, come back again. The whole prayer is an upper room prayer. For thine is the kingdom. Lord, don't ever let me be led into temptation. For thine is the kingdom. The token, the outpouring. Come near the shins, I don't preach. For thine is the kingdom. When, in other words, you hold the token. You hold this outpouring. You hold this fullness. Yeah, it belongs to you. Yeah, if you don't give me, I cannot have it. Yeah, for thine is the kingdom. And look what is going to happen with the kingdom and the power. You see, there is power that is connected to the kingdom. And when they ask Jesus, they say, Lord, will you restore unto us the kingdom of God? Hear what Jesus said. It's not for you to know the times and the season. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They ask about the kingdom and he start talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the power and the glory forever. Amen. He start with the kingdom and end with the kingdom to show you where the power and where the glory is for the bride in the end time is right hooked up in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is hooked up in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The power and the glory is locked up in the kingdom. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And you will never see nothing. The rapture cannot go. There is no power to bring the dead from the grave. No power to take you off the earth until the Lord comes with another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Friends, I hope you catch this little message here tonight. I never thought of this message in this fashion until I come to the room the other night. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, upper room, heart's condition. I said, but wait a minute. This is that prayer that the disciples had to pray. And this is the heart condition that brought them into one heart and one accord. Lord, teach us to pray. And I will put a subtitle, changed by the Holy Spirit, upper room, heart's condition. Yes, sir. Upper room, heart's condition. There's somebody looking for this tape, and they want to receive the token. You will know that these are the guidelines to receive the token. Lord, teach us to pray. He taught them how to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He taught them how to get the great fullness of God. He taught them how to get the token right in that. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Give us a song there, Brother Timmy. Let us stand. Oh, come, Brother Kenny. Such a wonderful spirit. Such a receptive attitude tonight from the congregation. I know that it was good for you.
Thy kingdom come.
Lord, bless you.
Oh, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thank you.
So much tonight of how that the people went up to that upper room. Something that I longed to hear ever since I came to the days of Durham. But I heard it tonight. Oh my. Do you realize what we heard tonight? God's requirement to place us to that outpouring of the Spirit. Just a simple message. Lord, teach us to pray. Upper room heart's condition. And I learned so much tonight, I never saw the Lord's Prayer connected with desperation like that in all my life. And I learned so much tonight. And I know if I learn, then you learn.
Amen.
The word's alive. It's precious. Now I got an understanding of the scene as it unfolded on the day of Pentecost, and how that they went up there, one mind, one heart, one accord. Just the way Brother Bruce was preaching. And I've been wondering about the contentions and the disobedience. And why would you be that like that? Here or abroad or wherever this tape may go. In every church, you have those conditions. But when we talk about that vision, one heart, one mind, one accord, we must forgive our brothers and sisters. And we're going to do that. Because we want that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Give Him the praise. Brother Bruce, I want to say thank you so much for that message. I appreciated the prayer line. I appreciated all the messages that I heard And I loved them, every one. But if there was ever a message this church needed, it was the message you preach tonight. And God bless your heart. And we appreciate you coming this way. He didn't have to come, but God sent him this way. And we're very grateful. So we want to remember service tomorrow night, same time. And then also on Wednesday night. Oh, Brother Timmy, give us a chorus of that again, Our Father.
Yeah.